Friendship According to Humphrey, Chapter 8, Ill Will. I returned to school with a great sense of accomplishment, but once I remembered where Og had spent the last 2 days, it was hard to concentrate on geography or maths. I couldn't help imagining all the fun Og must have had with the Brisbans. I glanced over at my neighbour in his glass tank, with that horrible grin on his face. He looked like a Halloween lantern. Scary. It was very, very, very cold outside, which meant that the heat inside was turned way, way up. Phew, that must be fine for a cold-blooded amphibian, but I was wishing I could take my fur coat off. Then the warm air woke up the crickets, who started singing, and there was a squeak, squeak, squeak that was coming from me, but from Seth as he wriggled in his chair. It sounded like jingle bells. Squeak, 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 squeak. The squeaking made Gail giggle noisily, which made Mrs. Brisbane laugh loudly and told her to shush. I was looking forward to some peace and quiet during our break, knowing Og wouldn't want to chat. When the time came, Mrs. Brisbane announced that the class would stay inside. She brought out all kinds of interesting things to play with. I must admit, I wish I could get out of my cage and play along with the rest of the class. Art and Richie built a tall tower out of tiny bricks, while Kirk and Seth worked on a jigsaw puzzle. AJ and Garth played a game where you slap down cards. Heidi and Gail played another kind of game, moving little plastic men around a board. Mandy, Sayer and Miranda came over to ask Tabitha to play with them. She didn't even look up. She just shook her head. I don't know why we even tried to be friends with her, Mandy whispered to the other girls. Sayer just sighed sadly. I knew how she felt. Og, can you hear me? I squeaked. I have something to ask you. I figured even though I couldn't understand him, maybe he could understand me. See how much fun it is to play with your friends? I asked. It probably sounded like squeak, 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 but then at least he could have responded with a boing. I decided to squeak up louder this time. I couldn't even hear myself because of all the yelling. Yelling? I looked round to see who was making all that noise. It wasn't lower your voice, AJ, or repeat it, please, Richie. It was Gail. She had stopped giggling and started shouting. The person she was shouting at was her best friend, Heidi. You cheated. I saw you, she yelled. I didn't, Heidi said. I wouldn't cheat. You must have. You always win. I'm never playing with you again. Cheat, Gail shouted. Mrs. Brisbane quickly moved towards them. Girls, please. I didn't cheat, insisted Heidi. I'm not a cheat. Gail put her fingers in her ears. Did too. Cheat, cheat, cheat. Everyone else in the class stopped playing and stared at the two girls. Mrs. Brisbane was right between them now. Girls, please, calm down and be quiet. Heidi and Gail were quiet, but they glared at each other angrily. Tell me what happened, Gail, calmly. Gail wiped away some tears. She was supposed to move her man 5 spaces, and she moved it 6 spaces. That gave her a bonus jump, and she won. She cheated. Did not, Heidi shouted. I only went 5. The teacher held up both hands. Stop. I want you two to cool off before we talk about it. You're such good friends. Let's work this out. She's not my friend anymore, said Gail. She was crying harder. Thank goodness, Heidi shot back. Because I can't stand you, crybaby, cheat. Mrs. Brisbane shook her head. Heidi, you go over there by Humphrey and Og, she said firmly. Gail, you sit down by my desk. Try and settle down. The girls did as they were told. I think they were glad to get away from each other. Soon, Heidi was leaning up against the table where Og and I have our homes. Crybaby, she whispered so softly that only we could hear her. It was hard for me to believe that Heidi would cheat her best friend, and it was hard for me to believe that Gail would lie about Heidi. I thought friends always got along, no matter what. First, all she does is giggle. Now all she does is cry, Heidi muttered. At Mrs. Brisbane's desk, Gail glared over at Heidi and wiped away a few more tears. When break was almost over, Mrs. Brisbane took the two girls out into the corridor to discuss the argument. They came back in and quietly returned to their seats. But as soon as Mrs. Brisbane turned her back, I saw them stick their tongues out at each other. Maybe friendship wasn't all it was cracked up to be. It was snowing by afternoon break, so Mrs. Brisbane divided the class into four teams. Each team had questions to answer. They had to decide as a group what the answer should be. Mrs. Brisbane kept score. She wisely put Heidi and Gail on different teams so they wouldn't argue or make faces. Both their teams lost. The winning team had Miranda, Kirk, Seth and Tabitha on it. And, to my surprise, the reason they won was Tabitha. Mrs. Brisbane asked each team questions about all kinds of things. Flowers, books, poet, tree, sport, animals, but not hamsters. I'm sorry to say. And countries. Nobody knew much about flowers. Everyone knew a lot about animals. Sarah was the best at answering questions about countries. Would you believe there's a country with a capital called Tegucigalpa? I had to write that one down. But Tabitha was the best at answering questions about sport. She knew soccer teams, volleyball rules and golf champions. The boys all seemed amazed. As the quiz went on, there seemed to be more and more questions about sport. Maybe that was an accident, but when Mrs. Brisbane is involved, things don't usually happen by chance. By the end of the break, Tabitha's team had scored 40 points. They would have scored higher if Kirk hadn't said that the Gettysburg Address was the number on the Gettysburg family home. Even I know it was a speech written by a very famous American president. He got a laugh and lost 2 points, but it didn't matter. The next closest team only had 28 points. "We won," yelled Seth, the team captain. "Way to go." He high-fived Tabitha, Miranda and Kirk. "Three cheers for Tabitha," said Miranda. "Hip hip hooray, hip hip hooray, hip hip hooray," I squeaked, jumping up and down for joy. Nobody called her a baby. Even Tabitha looked happy. Unfortunately, Heidi and Gail didn't seem cheered up at all. In fact, while all the attention was focused on Tabitha, I saw Gail mouth, "Cheat," to Heidi. Heidi stuck her tongue out at Gail. It was enough to make a grown hamster cry. A less sensible hamster than me, of course. "Og, you may not understand me, but if you could, you'd want Heidi and Gail to be friends again, right?" I asked my neighbour once everyone had gone home for the day. I didn't expect him to understand me. I was just thinking out loud. I was amazed to get an answer. Boing! Og jumped straight up and down, over and over again. I didn't know if he had sat on a needle or eaten something he didn't agree with. "Og, are you all right?" "Boing, boing," he said. "Boing." I jumped up and looked over at him. I was pretty sure he was agreeing with me. "So, what are we going to do to help them?" I asked him. "How can we help them?" As abruptly as he'd begun, Og stopped bouncing and boinging and sat as still as a rock as usual. I was discouraged and puzzled too. Either he didn't have any ideas or had given up on trying to get me to understand him. I felt we both had failed. Finally, I spoke again. "They sure were good friends." Og stayed silent the rest of the night. Hours later, when Aldo arrived, I was still trying to work out what the Google eyes had been trying to tell me. This was a most peculiar frog. "Good evening, gentlemen. Mind if I join the party?" said Aldo as he flicked on the lights and rolled his cleaning trolley into room 26. "Without you, there is no party," I told him. "Speaking of parties, Richie is having a big party for his birthday soon. Repeat it, please. Richie Rinaldi happened to be Aldo's nephew. It's going to be a very big deal." Since I'd never been to one, any birthday party seemed special to me. "They're having entertainment, like a show or something. Hey, you guys, want to see my latest trick?" asked Aldo, grabbing his broom. The caretaker had already proved his talents to me by balancing his broom on the tip of one finger for a long, long, long time. Once he balanced it on top of his head. This time, he threw his head back and balanced the tip of the broom on his chin for an equally long period of time. When the broom finally wobbled too far, Aldo caught it and took a deep bow. "Bravo, Aldo," I squeaked as loudly as I could. "Thank you, Humph." He glanced at Og. "What's the matter, Froggy? You don't like tricks." "It's not you," I said softly. "It's him." Aldo grabbed his bag and pulled a chair close to my cage. "Aw, it's just a silly trick." I'm not good at anything else. Or anything useful. Not true, I argued. Aldo took a sandwich out of his bag and began chewing on it. No, Humph, I've been thinking about it a lot. Because of this, he pulled a piece of paper out of his pocket. This is the application for City College. If I want to go there, I have to fill it in. So I wrote my name, address, all that. When I got to the part that asked what I want to study, I got stuck, he explained. I'm practically middle-aged, and I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Aldo put down his sandwich and stared at the application. I'm not sure what I'm good at. I thought of being a teacher, but I don't know. Would the kids like me? Am I clever enough to be a really good teacher? Yes, be a teacher, please, I insisted. For once, Aldo didn't seem to hear me. Besides, there was a letter of recommendation from somebody important. Somebody who believes I can succeed, said Aldo. I'll do it, I assured him, but he wasn't paying attention. I'm just not sure, he tossed his bag back on the trolley. Don't think I forgot you, he pally said as he dropped a small piece of carrot in my cage. Thanks a heap, I squeaked. You're welcome, Aldo replied. At least he understood most of what I said. One thing I understood, it was time for me to take action. Never injure a friend, even in jest. Cicero, Roman writer and orator.